Take your Bible and go with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. That's where we're going to continue our study. And then also grab Acts 26. Both those church Bible page numbers are at the top of your handout. So if you'll look at your handout, it'll give you the page numbers for the church Bibles, and that'll take you there, all right? So let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and Acts 26. Acts 26. All right, 2 Timothy, we've been going through this book on Sunday mornings, and man, it's been awesome. We're in verses 10 through 15, and last week, what did we learn? Well, we learned last week that God is a builder. God is building something today, brand new. It's called the church or the body of Christ. He's a bodybuilder, we said. He's building his body, and then he's building the church, which he likens to a building. When you get saved and you trust Christ, you become part of that plan. You become part of God's plan and God's purpose. Bring me down just a little now, Rob. And once you trust Christ, you become part of his building. You become part of Christ's body. Well, God kept his present day work a secret until just the right time. This church age that we're living in today, where God is placing people in union with Jesus Christ, he's forming this brand new thing called the body of Christ. He kept all that a secret. And the centerpiece of God's plan we studied last week, look at verse number 10. It says, but is now, God's purpose is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. And notice Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so in your handout, it says that when the time came for God to reveal his plan and his purpose for today, God needed a messenger. God needed a person that he could reveal his plan to for today who would faithfully share God's plan with others. When we talk about revealing things, you know, whenever you have really like cool information or you just got something really cool that you want to share, you want to make sure you reveal it in the right way. And I remember when Clint and Kendall were pregnant with our first grandchild, Landon. And I remember that when they were pregnant, they let us know in a very special way. They knew, of course, before us, but they revealed to us in time that very special information that they were going to have a child. Of course, at that point, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. So guess what? Later on came the gender revelation party. And when we had the gender revelation party, they invited everyone on our side of the family, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. They invited everyone on Kendall's side of the family, all of her extended family, and we all crammed into Clint and Kendall's house, and we had the gender revelation. And of course, if you know the Proctors, you know it was a boy. That's what we do. We have boys. A lot of you may not know this, but my grandfather on my dad's side had a boy, and a boy. No girls. My dad had a boy, and a boy. No girls. I had a boy, and a boy. No girls. Clint's had a boy, and a boy. If he has a third one, does anybody want to take any bets on what he's going to have? In case you were counting, that's 11 boys spanning four generations, no girls. No girls. Can you imagine when we finally have a girl, how spoiled she's going to be? There'll be no hope for that girl at all. Oh, mercy. But my point is, when you reveal an important decision, you want to do it the right way. I mean, they didn't just shoot us a text. Oh, by the way, you're going to be grandparents. We're having a kid, you know. They wanted to reveal it in the right way. And God's the same way. God's got this wonderful news that he wants to share with the world after the cross. God needed to reveal that, and so he needed a special messenger. That's what verse 11 is all about. Let's go to it. 2 Timothy 1:11, Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, when he says I'm appointed, the idea of the word appointed is that God placed Paul in a very special position. It was literally a divine appointment. We use that term. Boy, I had a divine appointment. This was literally a divine appointment. In fact, look at the screen behind me. Notice this divine appointment. Paul said, same guy who wrote this book said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached after me. He said, it is not after man. I didn't receive it of man. No man taught this to me. He said, I wasn't taught it of man. He said, but notice how he received the information. He said, God gave me this gospel that I preach by the revelation of who? Jesus. Revelation means revealing. So Jesus revealed himself to Paul and gave him this information that we have today. If you look at that verse again, look at verse 11, all right? Everybody look at that verse, verse number 11. I want you to tell me, what are the three things that God appointed Paul to be? Number one is what? Preacher, good. Number two is? An apostle. Number three is? A teacher, all right? So we got it. Now, what's a preacher? Well, in our culture today, we mistakenly think of a preacher as a pastor. And we say, oh, Pastor Dan's our preacher. That's a cultural thing. That's not the meaning of the word at all. The word preacher carries the idea of a herald, someone who's proclaiming a message, an important message. For example, you've heard the story of Paul Revere and how Paul Revere, man, he was going lickety-split through town and he was yelling, the British are coming, the British are coming. What was he doing? He was a herald. He was a preacher. He was proclaiming a very important message. That's all a preacher is. A preacher is someone who proclaims a message. When you share Christ with your friend at high school, when you share Jesus with a neighbor, when you share Jesus with a coworker, are you a preacher, yes or no? Are you, yes or no? Yes, you're a preacher. A preacher is not a pastor. Paul wasn't a pastor. A preacher is a proclaimer, see? And so God has this special message that he wanted proclaimed. But a special message requires a special messenger. So God gives to a man named Paul this special message to proclaim to the nations. Now, let's talk about that. Paul was not a likely candidate to be a preacher of Jesus. And the reason why he wasn't a likely candidate is, number one, Paul was the enemy of Jesus Christ. All right? That's number one in your handout. Paul, or Saul was his Jewish name, Paul was the enemy of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible open to Acts 26, I do want to look at a few verses there. So, keep your bookmarker there in 2 Timothy. Go over to Acts 26 and look at verse number 9. Acts 26, 9. Paul's giving his testimony. He's sharing how he came to know the Lord. And in verse 9, look what he says. I truly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Let me ask you something. How many of you have done things that are contrary to Jesus? 10 of us is all? Okay, now more hands are going up. We've all done things contrary. Well, Paul was a big-time enemy of Christ, man. In fact, to the point, number two in your handout, he was an enemy of believers in Christ. He hated them. He did everything he could to destroy believers in Christ. I mean, he was the enemy of Jesus. In fact, look at Acts 26. Look at the next verse, verse 10. Look at that one, Acts 26:10. He says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, believers, did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And, verse 11, he says, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul's like, man, I was one bad dude. He said, I did everything I could to get him to blaspheme Jesus. He said, I put him in prison. I gave my voice against them when they were put to death. I mean, Paul beat, and we read other verses, he beat believers. He drug them out of their houses. He was, like I said, he was one bad dude. All right? So, why would God use a guy like that to give his secret message? This information God had kept secret for thousands of years, what he was going to do after the cross, the building he's building today. He kept all that secret. Why would he give that information to Paul? And the answer to that is really, it makes perfect sense if you understand the day that we live in today. Because in your handout, give you a statement. Look at this. It says in your handout, Paul was the enemy of God who deserved God's wrath and judgment, but he received the undeserved grace of God. Let me think about that a minute. Sinners who deserve judgment but get grace. Who does that sound like? Right, that sounds like us. Sinners who deserve judgment but we get grace. That sounds like us. That sounds like all of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus. All of us in here can relate to Paul. We've all done evil things and bad things, but yet God has saved us by his grace. We can all relate to Paul. There's some characters of the Bible you may have trouble relating to. Paul's not one of them. Paul was a guy who was a sinner. He deserved God's judgment, but yet God gave him grace. We all understand that. We can all get that. Who better to proclaim the message of grace than the person who has experienced grace? You think about that. I mean, if you own a restaurant, who better to proclaim the goodness of your food than somebody who has partaken of your food? And who better to proclaim God's grace than someone who was the enemy of God but received the grace of God? So it really makes sense that Paul would be that key messenger. He said, I'm a preacher, I'm a proclaimer, I'm a herald of that message. Now, let me just real quickly apply that. Satan may convince you today that you're unworthy to share Christ with other people. Well, who are you to share Christ? You did this, you did that, Satan will say. He'll bring up past failures. He'll beat you up with past mistakes you made. He'll bring to your mind evil things that you've done that maybe you're the only one that even knows you ever did it or thought it, but yet Satan will bring up these things to you, and he'll just beat you over the head with skeletons in your closet and with bad things and evil things that you've done to try to convince you that you aren't worthy to share Christ with other people. And that's when you need to remember Paul and how God used him. And then the other thing, aspect of that, Satan may even use other people to discourage you, to bring doubt on your usefulness. He may use other people. Paul went through that. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he did a 180, complete 180. He went from the enemy of Christ to proclaiming Jesus. He went from being the enemy of believers to wanting to be with believers, you know. And he does this 180. Well, a lot of people, they weren't buying it. And a lot of people, a lot of believers, a lot of saints wanted nothing to do with Paul. They wanted to avoid him. They didn't want him at their church. They didn't want anything to do with him. They were leery of him. They didn't trust him. So Paul went through all of that. There may be people in your life. Who are you to tell me about Jesus? I know what you did. Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? I know you, you know. You try to witness to your brother, maybe, and he's like, hey, I grew up with you, man. I know what you're like. Or you try to witness to your mom or dad, and of course, they know everything about you, right? You try to witness to a friend that you grew up with, and they're like, what? Who are you? Tell me about Jesus. And so you may go through that. And when that happens, I want you to remember Paul. I want you to remember he was an unlikely preacher of Jesus. He was an unlikely candidate for that God would use him, but yet God used him. And Paul isn't here anymore. It's now our privilege and our responsibility to proclaim the message of Jesus. By the way, how many of us need to be preachers of Jesus? All of us. We all need to proclaim Jesus. That's our job, man. That's what we're here for, is we all need to be proclaiming Christ. So don't let Satan beat you up and make you think you're not worthy to proclaim Jesus. Listen, don't let him do that. You need to remember Paul. Paul was an unlikely preacher of Jesus, but yet God used him. Now, what was the second thing Paul said he was? He said, I'm a preacher. And what, does anybody remember what was the second thing we read? I'm an apostle. Now, what's an apostle? In Bible days, not every believer was an apostle. To be an apostle was a very special appointment from God, and you had to meet certain qualifications. For example, to be an apostle in Bible days, you had to have special sign gifts, which generally involve healing people or doing miracles, like really, really miracles. And most importantly, to be an apostle, you had to have actually seen the resurrected Christ. You actually had to encounter him and see him. We believe in Christ based on the evidence of God's word, based on our faith in him, and we have great evidence to back up our faith, but yet none of us in here have actually seen Jesus. To be an apostle, you had to actually be an eyewitness to Christ after he rose from the dead. Well, you say, hold on, I know my Bible, Pastor Dan. Jesus went up to heaven in Acts 1. Paul didn't get saved till Acts 9. So how could he have seen Christ after he rose from the dead? Christ only walked for 40 days after he rose from the dead. And he appeared to people, right? But Paul wouldn't have been there. He didn't get saved till Acts 9. And here's the answer to that. When Paul got saved, when he trusted Jesus, in your handout, it says that Jesus personally appeared to Paul and revealed himself to Paul. So Jesus actually made a special appearance to Paul. If you got your Bible open, go to Acts 26. You should already be open there. Look at Acts 26, verse 16. Acts 26, 16. All right, Jesus says to Paul, when Paul got saved, Jesus said, "Rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you've seen and the things in which I will appear unto you." So obviously, Jesus appeared to Paul, and he got to see Jesus when he got saved, and then Jesus made many more appearances to Paul. Look in your handout. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 1. It's in your handout on the backside there. Paul said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free?" Aha, here it is. "Have I not," what? "Seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" So you had to have that to be an apostle. "Are you not my work in the Lord?" So go to, I'll tell you what, we'll go there in a minute. Here's what I want you to get real quick, because I'm going somewhere with this. So please stay with me. Jesus made many appearances to Paul. He spoke to Paul. He made Paul a minister and a witness of the things that he heard and saw. And stuff that God had kept secret for thousands of years, he begins to make it known to Paul. Now, hold on. Paul then takes that information, and then he passes that information on to us. How? He wrote 13 books of the Bible. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. This is a guy who was the enemy of Jesus. He gets saved. Jesus appears to him. He's an apostle. He gets 13 books of the Bible, Romans through Philemon, in your Bible, and he explains all this new information to the church. Now the ball's in our court. We have the information we need. We are stewards of that revelation. We are to serve. We are to minister. We are to be witnesses for Christ. By the way, you do not have to wait on Jesus to appear to you and tell you what to do. All right, he already gave you that information by giving it to the Apostle Paul. Paul then gave it to us. God's will has been revealed to you right here. So you don't need an apostle to give you a word of knowledge or to give you divine revelation. Sometimes when you're channel surfing, you may see guys on the religious network and they're saying things like that they are an apostle. And that, you know, I have a word of knowledge that God has given me, and I have divine revelation from God that I'm giving to you. Just turn the channel. Because you don't need that. You have everything you need right here. You know, if I ever stand up in church and I say, "Oh, you know what? Put your Bibles down because I've got special word of knowledge. I got special divine revelation from God that I want to give you today." Just hit the door. Just hit the door. Just leave. You'll know I'm off my rocker, all right? Just hit the door and don't come back because that is not needed today. We talked about this in our small group that we go to, and we talked about that this week, that God's not having to speak to you through an apostle today. He's not speaking to you through some kind of new revelation. Aren't you thankful to know that God led Paul to write 13 books of the Bible directly to the church, to us today? He raises up a special apostle named Paul just so we wouldn't miss it. God had already had 12 apostles, right? Acts chapter number 1, They replaced Judas. Acts 2, all 12 are filled with the Holy Spirit. God had 12 apostles. He raises up a separate apostle named Paul just to give us the information that we need today. Folks, I am very thankful. You don't need an apostle. You don't need a word of knowledge or some prophetic word from me. Aren't you thankful? You got everything you need in the Bible right here. You got everything you need. You got all the information you need right there. All right. And so Paul said, I'm an apostle. All right. What was the first thing he said? I'm a what? See, y'all already forgot my first point. He said, I am a what? Preacher. Number two, I am a apostle. Then in that verse we read in 2 Timothy, he said, number three, I am a what? Teacher. Not just a teacher. I'm a teacher of the You say, Gentiles, what is that? Gentile? What is a Gentile? I mean, is that some kind of food? You've heard of lentil soup, right? What is a Gentile? Let me tell you what a Gentile is. Why would Paul say, why would he say that I am a teacher of the Gentiles? That's not the only time he said that. In fact, in Romans 11, he said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office, that position I have. Jesus said the same thing. Look at Acts 26. You're already there. Look what Jesus said in verse 17 to Paul. He said, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Jesus said, I'm sending you out to the Gentiles. So, okay, let's figure out what that is. A Gentile is anyone that's not a Jew. In the Old Testament, God's people were the nation of Israel, the Jews. You say, well, wait a minute, hold on. Isn't that favoritism? Why did God have his own people? It's not favoritism at all. Here's why God did that. Romans 1 says that all the Gentile nations, all the nations of the world had forsaken God. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. The Bible says God gave them up to a reprobate, filthy mind. They had all forsaken God. So God raises up a people of his own that would be a light to all those godless nations. They would be able to tell them who the one true God was. So God raises up this nation of Israel to do that. They were to be lights to the Gentile nations of the one true God. These nations that were pagan, wicked, God wanted to reach them. So he raises up Israel, the Jews, to go to be a light to the Gentile nations. By the way, when you read your Bible, Jesus and his disciples went pretty much exclusively to Israel. You say, why did he do that? The reason why he did that is because the plan was Israel, who were just as wicked as the Gentiles, they were doing nothing to be a light, that Jesus would come. They would repent of their sin, turn to Jesus as their Messiah, their King. He would then rule and reign, and the message would go out to the nations that way. Instead of them repenting, they rejected Christ. Remember? They said, crucify him. We don't want him. He's not our king. We have no king but Caesar. And so they crucified him. And it was prophesied that when they did that, when the Romans and the Jews together crucified our Lord, it was prophesied that God would respond, bringing judgment and wrath on this earth for 7 years. He would pour his wrath out on a world that deserved it. Those who accepted Christ would then be ushered into his kingdom. But instead of God pouring his wrath out on this world and on all of his enemies, God reaches down in Acts 9, saves his chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus, who's Paul. And he gives to his enemy, who's now been saved by grace, he gives to him, we just read it, a special commission to go to the nations with the message of Jesus' death for their sin and his glorious resurrection from the dead. What would his death and resurrection mean to the nations? Look at verse 18. Acts 26, 18. He said, Paul, you're going to go out there and here's what the message is going to produce. You're going to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what, church? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance, right? Heaven. Among them which are sanctified by faith, Jesus said, that is in me. It was the message that sinners like you and me could be totally forgiven of all of our sins, justified before God, and we would not have to go through Israel. We would not have to go through the law of Moses. We would not have to go through a bunch of religious rites. People anywhere, anytime, in any nation, in any people group could be saved by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the message. Amen, church? Amen. Yes. Write that in your handout because that's an important statement. People could be saved by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That was the message. And Paul calls that message the gospel of Christ. Can you say that with me? The gospel of Christ. Say it again. The gospel of Christ. That's an exclusively Paul term. Paul used that term. Now, the word gospel is used other places. But that phrase, the gospel of Christ, that's a Paul phrase. And he used that to describe that message that anybody, anywhere, in any nation could be saved by going straight to God through Jesus Christ. In your handout, look at that verse, Romans 1:16. Paul writes, you're going to find that phrase, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There it is. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Is the gospel of Christ for some people or all people? All people. Who can be saved? Everybody. He says the gospel, when you proclaim that, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That is the gospel that Satan is trying desperately to blind people from seeing. Look at the next verse in your handout. "In whom the god of this world," that's Satan, little g, that's not a typo. That's talking about the devil. "In whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," there's that phrase again, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I'm going to say this from my heart, and I want you to listen closely. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not up here, and you won't hear me get up here and down other religions by name. Never heard me do that. I'm not going to get up here and start bad-mouthing other religions. All I'm going to say is this, because there's a lot of great churches out there. All I'm going to say is this. Satan does not mind religion. And here's why. If Satan can entangle people in performance-based religion, then he can distract them away from the finished work of Jesus Christ. If he can get people thinking they're on this treadmill, imagine a treadmill, and they're on this treadmill of religious performance. Religious prompts. I gotta do enough. I gotta go to church. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And if I do enough, maybe God will accept me. What are they trusting in? They're trusting in their works to get to heaven. And if Satan can get people to trust in their religion or their religious works, then they're not trusting in Jesus, and he's happy. The gospel of Christ is that you trust Jesus and you're immediately saved and forgiven. He don't want people to know that. So Satan wants to blind people. He doesn't mind religion. He loves religion. And so if he can get people to trust in their religion, then they're not trusting in Jesus. If he can get them to trust in their works, then they're not trusting in Jesus. If he can get them to trust in their church or in their pastor or in the religious rites and rituals they do, then they're not trusting in Jesus. And Satan loves that. He blinds minds from the gospel of Christ. There are basically two takeaways that I want you to get today. The first takeaway is this. Do you know that your soul and your heart is right with God? Do you know that you've been forgiven of your sins and you're complete before God? Hey, God raised up an apostle just to give you that message. And then we're to take it to the nations, that you can be forgiven, redeemed, and made completely whole by placing your faith alone in Jesus Christ, what he's done for you. Is your heart right with God? You say, I'm not sure. What do I need to do? It's already been done. Jesus did it all. You just put your faith and trust in him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The second thing, takeaway I want you to get, is this. Did you know that God wants to use you mightily on this earth? God wants to use you. I'm just a teenager. Well, I'm just a young adult. I'm just an old adult. I'm just a middle-aged adult. I don't care what you are. God wants to use you mightily. What we learned from Paul, what were the three things he said he was? He said, I am a preacher, I am a apostle, and I am a teacher. What we learned from Paul, it doesn't matter your past. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your past mistakes, sins, evil things you've done. God's willing to use you to impact other people for Christ. He wants to use you. Bottom line is this. It's in your handout. Last statement. Ready? Nobody is beyond saving, and nobody is beyond God using them to make a difference. That's what we learned from Paul. All right, real quickly. Number one, Paul said, I am a preacher. How many of us should be preachers? All of us. He said, number two, I am an... How many of us are apostles? None of us. Number three, but God raised him up to give him that special message for us. Number three, he said, I am a teacher of the Gentiles. I'm taking the gospel out to the nations. How many of us should be a part of getting the gospel out to the nations? All of us, right? So let's go to God in prayer right now.